With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Wailing. The Wailing is a 2016 South Korean horror film directed by Na Hong Jin. It follows a police officer who's forced to investigate bizarre murders seemingly caused by a mysterious disease that begins soon after a stranger arrived in their small village. When his own daughter comes down with the sickness, he must do whatever it takes to find the true source of the illness before he loses everything he cares about. It's an exciting episode this week because not only are we heading to South Korea to be haunted by the literal devil, but taking us there is our very special guest, Tom Walker. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure.
Welcome.
So, firstly, thanks for suggesting this movie.
I fucking love this movie. Cards on the table. I think it fucking rips. This movie fucking rules, dude. It's so fucking sick. I love it. I'm glad you watched it. I'm glad to hear all the dissenting opinions that are about to come my way. But my opinion, this movie fucking rips. And I don't have any more intellectual way of putting it.
Great. All right. Let's close the episode there.
That's it.
Yeah. We're done.
How did you find this movie? Because it wasn't on my radar at all. So I'm curious to know how you came across it.
I was just, trying to get into more Korean cinema, and this came up on Netflix, and I knew nothing about it going in.
Yeah,
me and my girlfriend. My girlfriend is a huge horror fan.
Cool.
She's Demi Lardner, of course, the little freak. And so we watched this, just being like, "Oh, it's a horror movie. It's Korean. Yeah. We love Train to Busan.
Yes.
Let's give this a holy shit. It's And 2 hours and a half long.
Yes, yeah.
Just this insane epic that takes you down roads that you absolutely would never have guessed.
100%, yeah. And that's what I like, that you came to it sort of fairly ignorant, because that's kind of how I came to it. Obviously, you recommended it, so I watched it. And I probably wouldn't have been one I would have maybe chosen myself. I'm glad we did, because same as you, we're always on the lookout for anything non-Hollywood. A lot of what we've watched has been like Hollywood stuff. We've done Train to Busan, and it's an amazing film. So yeah, came into this one fairly blind, and it looks gorgeous straight away. So you're very much drawn into the world. And I also like that it is like, you come in and it's like, oh, these are different faces. There's obviously a different language. The landscape is different. And you're like, oh, cool. Immediately, this is something new. This is something different. Which is really cool.
Still absolutely fucked though, so fuck you for that.
You're so welcome.
Oh, just so many, like every time I thought I was going to be able to, like, because it does that thing where like it goes for a bit, something awful happens, and then it like keeps going for a bit longer, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm right, we're out of it, we're out of the
right.
Oh no, we're still fucking, like, we're right back in it again, you piece of shit.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, it infests your brain. It's the only horror movie I've seen where I'm like, oh, this, the feeling of dread that I got from this movie is sticking. Mm.
I said to Handsome Tom today that,
well,
took me. Sorry, I said to Thomas Reed today
that's better.
I watched it, and it took me about 8 hours to put a review on Letterboxd because I just didn't know what to say.
Mm.
Also, didn't know how I felt about it yet, which is kind of like gelled a bit over the course of the day. Mm. But it's like, my God, the sense of dread that just exists for 2.5 hours is maybe unlike any movie I've seen before. Mm. Probably because I steer clear of them normally because I'm a coward. But fucking hell, this movie.
Yeah, and the length as well. Because it, like, there's almost a point an hour and a half in, I think it's the exorcism scene, where you're like, oh, this is feeling like the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, no, you've got another hour of chaos after that.
Nah. I love this movie. And, like, I think the two movies I sent over as, like, things we could watch were... could not be more difficult, different, because one of them was The Wailing, which is, to me, like, a pure cinema, like, in terms of being able to truly convey the feeling of dread and powerlessness and misery. And then the other one was The Nun, which is one of the most dogshit films you can possibly imagine. In this one, it feels like evil is given a force and its motivation, and it's like evil is a real thing and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Whereas in The Nun, evil exists to be spooky and nothing else, you know? Like all the Conjuring shit is, like, evil is there to scare you and then, like, not really do any harm.
Right.
Like, the rules are so unclear. It's like a fucking haunted house ride. This feels like your life is falling apart.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I think, look, if I had to pick... If you'd given me both these movies and not told me either of them, I probably would have ended up watching The Wailing. Not because I thought it was any better, but because the poster for The Nun would have terrified me, like... That creepy woman's face needs to die, and I never need to see it again, ever. So, like, I would have picked The Wailing anyway, and I would have ended up having a worse time. Like, I feel bad.
Yeah. This is so much scarier. Yeah. It's a day ruiner. It's a week ruiner.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I hope it doesn't ruin my life.
Yeah, Sean, don't become a bumbling policeman and have a daughter, or you're in trouble.
Oh, no.
You're in a bad way.
Those are both my dreams.
All right, we'll step back from The Wailing for a minute, because Tom Walker, I want to ask... What is your history with horror, and where do you see yourself on the Scaredy Boys sort of spectrum from Scaredy Boy to Brave Boy?
I think that I have become braver with horror as time's gone on. But I say that, I think that I've just realized how much of horror is goofy comedy bullshit that I actually quite enjoy.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, I thought that all horror was Saw, Hostel.
Yeah.
And then I actually watched Nightmare on Elm Street and Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and I was like, oh, this is, like, apart from how much they prevaricate on whether Freddy is or isn't a pedophile, how much that goes, they really go back and forth on that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Sometime in the noughties, they were like, no, this is edgy Freddy. No, we don't. But yeah, I feel like I've gotten more into horror in the last 4 years. And part of that's because Demi is, like, a huge horror fan. But until then, I was, and still am, if something is genuinely too scary for me, like, I'll never watch Paranormal Activity and shit, you can find me in the Wikipedia articles for those films reading their entire synopses.
Yeah,
so their posters and promotional material don't have any power over me.
Great.
Just to completely rule out the ability that maybe you'll get tricked by a good marketing campaign.
Exactly. Yeah. And to get make sure that my curiosity does not kill the cat. The cat in this case being me. I'm sorry to talk like someone from the 1920s.
Well, I'm curious to know, so if you're dating someone who's into horror, so when you first started dating Demi, would she be like, hey, want to watch this movie? And you'd be like, let's not. Or would you be like, oh, no, I'll be brave and let's watch this movie?
Have you guys seen... there's a specific film I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie that Demi recommended to me at the start. I don't want to say which film because it's a bit of a spoiler. But basically, there's a film that is... it's set in the West. And for about an hour and 20 minutes, it is like a fairly dull film. And then at around the hour and 20 minute mark, they get captured... by a group, these two cowboys, and you watch one of the cowboys go through the most gruesome death scene I have ever seen. And, like, he gets held up by the feet, and someone uses, like, a stone axe. I see you nodding, Sean. Ooh. To chop from the groin all the way down through his body. And it genuinely... It didn't give me nightmares, but it did affect my ability to fall asleep. Oh. And she was watching it like it was the news.
Oh, Tom, I've seen it. Yeah. And I told these guys about it, and I told them that I'll never make them sit through it. But like you, I think, I wasn't told it was a horror.
Yes.
My friend was like, hey, you like Westerns? Check this out. And I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool Western for 90 minutes. And then bam, the most horrifying thing I think I've seen on screen.
Genuinely, Jesus. Yes. Like, yeah. It's complete... It's the worst shit I've ever seen. And that's like my line draw. I'm fine with people dying. What I don't need is them to die realistically. I'm fine with like The Conjuring's jump scares. I don't want to watch someone like forget their own name as their head gets caved in or something. You know? Like,
Yeah.
The nun coming out of a painting, so into that. Big scary lady.
Okay. And when you were younger, would you watch horror with like your mates at the time?
No, I was a big coward. I would rent out the Garfield animated series on VHS.
And there was one episode where John was a bit mean, and that was the height of fear.
I was covering my eyes. Yeah. Every time Odie came on screen, I would shout, the betrayer, cover my eyes. Tell me when it's just Garth.
And so do you think you're braver now after dating Demi for 4 years and being sort of watching a few more horrors?
I don't know if I'm braver. I think I know what my threshold is now. I think I understand that horror isn't exclusively... like this awful, the bone tomahawk scene that I was referencing before. Right. I think that horror is like, horror can be incredible, beautiful cinema, like, you know, Train to Busan, or it can be like a fun, goofy fucking romp. You know, it can be as popcorn or as high as any other film. But I've definitely, I thought it was all Human Centipede.
Yes. Yeah, I that's beautiful. That pretty much sums up the experience I think the three of us have had, where there are some obviously awesome movies out there, like The Wailing, that, well, I wouldn't have watched if I just said, oh, well, that's scary, I'm not going to watch that. Now I've watched it. It was a great old time. It was, well, not a great old time, but well, I'm glad I watched it.
A great old time. Yeah, okay, no worries. Yeah, sick. I'm going to come to your house and take your photo, Damo.
It's not Paddington, mate. Come on.
It's no Paddington, oh, no. Yeah. You're not wrong short. All right, let's jump back into The Wailing because, look, it started with a Bible verse, and I feel like any movie that starts with a Bible verse is always bad news. It's like you're not going to have a good time now.
No.
I'd love to find a movie that opens with a Bible verse. Like, and they're always bleak Bible verses. It's never the Bible verse about, like, and so Jerry had a good time.
Never... The Bible is a lot of begetting, and there's not much use of the begetting verses in other media. You don't hear much about people's dads.
No, or their dads.
Yeah.
The Bible needs more Jerry had a good time, I think, yeah, is the answer.
And lo, Jerry had a good time.
Right.
Yeah, that was actually the sequel to Job. Followed up, it kind of happened concurrent with the events of Job, but it was this guy being like, hey, checking on the cattle. Whoa, these things are great.
This is awesome.
Hey, Job, look at my cattle. I'm busy.
I'm going through some stuff.
Not the time.
Oh, Job's posting some weird status updates to Facebook. I'm sure he's fine.
I haven't seen Job's kids and wife for a while. What's going on with that?
They're probably busy tending to those cattle that he still has.
Well, like, the funny thing about this movie is it actually starts quite fun. Like, it's bumbling small-town cops who are in over their head, very often, like, insulting each other, that I found incredibly amusing.
Yeah,
well, it's weird, like, watching, and even later on when it gets darker, there is still an element of, like, slapstick all the way through it. Like, that scene where they're chasing, they go to the hut to chase him, and they're, like, running through the forest, and they're, like, falling over,
right,
like Keystone Cops-like.
Yeah, throw some Benny Hill music on, and we're having a great time.
It's exactly so weird, but the stakes are, like, through the roof at this point, because it's like, if he doesn't catch this guy, his daughter's going to die or something.
The comedy is used perfectly. So often, I feel like in kind of American 80s, noughties comedy, horror, comedy ends up being the domain of the killer, you know? Mm-hmm. And here it's used to make us love these people who are in danger. And even though what they're doing is, you know, funny and shit, it only enhances later when they are in peril. You're like, no, please don't kill these people that I love that have made me laugh. You know, it associates it and it stays in the world. It's so good.
Yes. It really does stay in the world. I think that's a great point because, like, there's not a lot of special effects or there's, like, all the... all the supernatural entities are only really ever portrayed as humans until right at the very end. And so I actually think that's way more scary than something like The Conjuring, where you're like, okay, well, yeah, that's fucked. I know that's dangerous. I should stay away. Where, because they're just people, that doubt that is so inbuilt into this movie stays with you right through the whole thing.
So good.
Guys, I saw a review today. I was reading one on IndieWire, which kind of like summed the movie up and the effect it kind of had on me, I think. I'll just read it to you quickly, just a line from it.
Yeah, okay.
This is horror filmmaking that's designed to work on you like a virus, slowly incapacitating your defenses so it can build up and do some real damage. There's a looseness here that's missing from mainstream American horror, a sense that absolutely anything can happen next and always does. And that's just, I think that's a great summary of the movie. It's just that slow burn. Like there aren't, I'm trying to think if there were any jump scares in this film. There might have been like one.
I think there is one when it could have even been the maybe dream sequence where we see the Japanese man feasting on the deer carcass, and then all of a sudden he's boom right in our face with his glowing eyes. But I agree. I think that's it.
I love that idea of it just like slowly working through you like a virus. Just that that dread. That's like 2.5 hours of just dread and tension and just like, I mean, we've watched quite a few horror movies now, and sometimes you can just pick what's going to happen. But with this, I just never felt settled. No. I never knew what they were going to do.
Yeah, and as soon as you're like, oh, I get it, it's a zombie movie, because there's that shot of the lady outside, and you immediately like, oh, I understand where this is going to go, I understand the tropes of this. It pulls the rug out from under you and is about something that is so much more stranger and scarier than that. And it ends up having, you know, the zombie movie is all about society and, you know, man's inhumanity to man and man is the real threat. This ends up touching themes and fears of things that are just divine and beyond humanity and fundamentally unknowable.
Yes.
Fucking rips.
It's one of those things, too, where, like, they just start sprinkling it early so that by the time you get to the end and it's really leaning into that, you're okay with it. Like, the only translator they could find just happens to also be a priest.
Yes, yeah.
Like, they introduced this character who's the only conduit they've got to this Japanese guy. And it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Cool, he's a priest. And then by the end of the movie, you're like, of course he's a priest.
Right.
Of course. Because then you don't have that you don't have that incredible sequence where he goes back. And you start to kind of... And even, like, early on when they go to the church and the church is like, oh, we've got nothing for you. And it's like, no, there's nothing we can do.
And, like, when you think about it, this movie literally, like, has a bit of everything. It's got possessions, possible ghosts, zombies, exorcisms, the friggin' devil. And yet it all melded together, like, fairly seamlessly. Like, at no point was it feeling like, oh, this is too much. It was just one beat of chaos to the next, with you sort of just having to follow along.
Yeah, and it ran for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen? How does that fucking... This isn't like a Lord of the Rings movie.
Right.
It's just steadily upgrading from, like, being, I don't know, a chill pastoral, like, almost a slice of life of this fucking bumbling cop. And then it steadily becomes a horror movie over 2.5 fucking hours, and it doesn't feel long.
No.
I mean, it feels long. It feels epic, but it doesn't outstay its welcome, almost.
Yes,
for me.
Yeah. And I also love even just, like, the intercuts of the incredible landscapes, these stunning landscapes, just would occasionally just intercut to be like, hey, you've been scared for a bit. Here's a beautiful landscape. But it's also like this chaos, this dread and this fear is happening on the backdrop of this stunning, like, scenery.
Yeah.
Which I think also adds another element of fear of, like, well, this could happen anywhere. This is like a beautiful place and it's still the worst thing ever happening.
I think that's the key, though. Like, I remember looking at the runtime being like, oh, fuck, this could be pushing it.
Yeah.
But I think it couldn't be any shorter, I don't think. Because, like you said, Tom, it seems like it's a slice of life story with some weird shit happening, and it gives you enough time to build that so that every time it ratchets up the tension, it doesn't have to do it quickly. It can just slowly. It's literally, we are the frog in that pot of boiling water, and by the time it gets to the last 20 minutes, we're like, oh, we're dying.
Like, fuck, when did I get in this pot?
Where the detective fall down?
That's so good.
Another scene I wanted to talk about was the exorcism scene, because for some reason, I was very unnerved by, like, that was the closest I came to thinking, oh, I'm going to stop this and have a little me break.
It's overwhelming. Yes. Yeah, the rhythm and the sound of it, and it's a depiction of magic or, you know, supernatural forces that you never see in things, but is so much more powerful and more visceral than any kind of fucking Doctor Strange bullshit.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Imagine if after all of that, you know, hitting of the drum, you know, Black Panther steps out through the portal or whatever. It's like shit. There's not, like, I don't know. It's a very bare scene, CGI-wise, yeah. And it's incredible.
Yeah, and that actor, what was his name? Hwang Jong-min. He is giving his all. He is not holding back at all. I actually read that they filmed for 15 minutes straight, just one long take of him just going for it. And that was pretty much what they used. He just did it in one for 15 minutes, and that's what they used.
That fucking that's insane.
It's so much more powerful, too, than a typical sort of exorcism of someone reading a Bible.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which even, like, I say, those scenes normally are quite fucking full on.
Right,
as well,
you're not shrugging your way through them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt watching it, like, all of my senses were just being, like, pummeled by this fucking just chaos. And it just went on, and the little girl screaming, and it was just crazy.
And it lasted, again, because this has got a long runtime, it's got the time to hold that beat for so long that you're like, all right, well, is it done yet? Like, I need a break.
Yeah.
It's they do so many things that are just nice, too, where they set up and pay off beautifully. Mm. Like, when he's talking about the death hex and he's like, don't have sex, watch what you eat, don't fuck this up. And then it's going on for so long, you're just on tenterhooks because you know there's so much time left that he has to do something to fuck it up.
Right.
And so naturally he comes out and is like, stop, my daughter, you can't keep doing this shit. Like,
yes.
Like, well, there's the fuck up. And then it's juxtaposed with the Japanese guy doing whatever weird ritual he's doing on top of it, which is somehow worse, even though he's just sitting down. Like, all of it is just...
It's incredible. It's a true wizard battle. Yeah. Like, I don't... And I was saying it like that kind of denigrates it or something, but, like, this is a supernatural battle, and it is filmed in such a way that, like, as you were saying, Sean, with the exorcisms, when it's someone reading the Bible, that doesn't communicate to me as something that would hurt me as a demon. Mm. But watching this, it's like, oh, I would get the fuck out of that body. Right now.
Yeah. He's putting knives into, like, blocks of wood. No fucking way.
Yeah. I will say chickens get a beating in this movie.
Yes.
They did not have a good time.
And goats.
Animals in general, not enjoying themselves.
Animals in general, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I also wanted to bring up is, so Tom Reed, you've talked about the ultimate cinema crime, which is when a hoax is being portrayed and a character is by themselves and they continue to perpetrate the hoax. So if they're pretending to be somebody else for other people's benefit, when they're by themselves, they continue to pretend to be that person and we, the audience, see it.
Yeah.
Ultimate cinema hoax. They should know. They should go back to it.
Yes.
I feel like this movie did it a bit with that scene because it looks like he's beating the devil and the devil's having a bad time. Well, the Japanese man's having a bad time of it. But then later, I mean, spoilers, but later they're in cahoots and they're both bad guys.
Yes. Look, I originally... I hate this in movies. There's a movie called Matchstick Men, which is one of my least favorite movies of all time, in which the twist is that the daughter's in on it, and you see her by herself so many fucking times in the movie, and she's still playing the con. It's like, that's for no one's benefit but ours, you fucking dumb.
That's commitment, Tom.
No, it's not. It's dog shit. Fuck you.
She's methods. She's going...
fuck off, everyone. but no, I when I finished it, I was like, oh, have they tricked me? But then... Fun fact, I don't know if you guys know, but there are like a bazillion Reddit threads dedicated to the ending of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I went down that rabbit hole today.
Oh, my God. So many. And people are like, does it feel like a cop-out? And then people are saying, well, there's this whole thing of like, is he actually trying to kill the Japanese man who's holding on to the body so the demon can completely take over? Is it actually, it was the woman? Like, we're seeing two separate events. He's actually trying to continue the ceremony and... Damo, I give you evidence that there's that scene about halfway through where they find the people in the well. Chun's family that he's killed. So he's been infected by the same spirit. And you see in the remains of that shopping center, the market, stuff that was done similar to the exorcism at the family's house.
Yep.
So I guess the implication is that this shaman goes, does an exorcism, which doesn't actually do anything but make things worse. Potentially for the devil to take over.
Yeah.
Was one theory. So I've come all the way around and I'm like, no, this movie's clever as fuck.
Tom, what I think he's doing is he's doing an actual thing, but it's to destroy the protection that that the girl is putting up to protect people.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. There's a whole lot of, like, again, there are a lot of theories on Reddit. There's also someone put up. So originally when this movie came out, the director had an, like, there's another 5 minutes tacked onto the end that he got rid of because he wanted it to be a bit more ambiguous.
Oh.
But that's on YouTube and you can find it. And basically, through my research of Reddit, which is a fun place, was this, someone had posted this, like, clip, and it's literally a sequence of the Japanese guy sitting by a roadside. There's some kids playing. He's, like, waving at them and being friendly to them. The shaman pulls up. They don't say anything. He just gets in the car. They drive off. And then in the rearview mirror is the woman sort of standing in a field watching them drive away. And it just slowly pans in on her face and then cuts. And the director's like, oh, I got rid of that because I wanted it. It was way too obvious then.
Mm.
But I'm like, I've seen that. It's not even, that doesn't make it way more obvious. That's still just as, I don't know which one of the three of them is actually bad.
Yeah. From hearing that, I don't even know what that means just now.
But yeah, I was with you, Damo. Yeah. I thought it committed a crime, but now I'm convinced that it's actually a masterpiece.
Reddit saves the day.
Yay.
Reddit, purely a force for good. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing bad's ever come from Reddit, guys.
No.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
No. All right. Well, then I'll ask the question. Were we scared?
Yes.
Horrified.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Fuck. Right.
We're in agreement. This generally, it's interesting because, as we were saying, like the baddies are only ever represented as humans, and yet that's somehow far scarier and more unsettling than anything else. Like, and it was just this dread that like you were saying, Tom Reed, before, of the frog in the fry pan. It's just building until you kind of just want to break. Like, I found myself being like, shit, this is a long movie, not because I wasn't entertained, but because I couldn't hold on to the dread anymore and I wanted an escape.
It's fucked. The end is awful. Like,
Bad guy,
yeah,
win.
It's a bad ending.
Well,
it's,
yeah.
The worst possible shit happened.
Yeah.
And no one gets away unscathed. Like, they show, like, his cop partner disappears for the whole back half of the movie. And then when you finally get a resolution to him, it's, oh, yeah, he also went crazy and killed his entire family. And you're like, fuck, no one's... it's even that, and that awful scene where the priest goes back to confront the guy and he's like, just, if you say you're not the devil, I'll leave you alone.
Right.
And the guy's just like, what makes you think that you have... it's your choice to leave.
Yeah.
It's like, no, why is...
Yeah.
Oh. But I have to say, for me, the scariest beat in the whole movie and the bit where I was dying inside is literally the moment where he has to wait for the three rooster crows and you do not know if she's telling the truth or if the shaman's telling the truth. In the meantime, you're seeing the daughter just wolfing down... You're like...
Yes. Yeah. Well, Tom Walker, I wanted to ask you, because this movie starts somewhat fun, at what point did you realize you were scared?
When I feel like I realized I was scared that this was a fear that went beyond like, oh, it's a Korean horror movie. It's a Korean zombie movie. I think when there's initial part where they're investigating the Japanese man's house.
Yeah.
And that, like, the dread of that really got to me.
Yes.
Because up until then, kind of like, I don't know, the red eyes effect that kind of gets brought up a bit is almost... you know, noughties or 90s, that's like, it's a bit of some goofy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not especially scary.
Yeah.
But then the events of the movie happen, and you're like, oh, if anyone ever does that to me, I'm taking myself out. I'm going to stick around to see how this unfolds.
Yeah.
Oh, I just I think the moment when just like a little bit of tingling anxiety, like almost curdled into fucking dread.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. For me, I think it was that scene as well, because until then I thought, oh, maybe they're just being a bit racist and like, these are Koreans.
Yes.
This is a Japanese guy. He's a stranger in town. It must be that strange Japanese man. And then we see his house and all doubt is removed at that point. And fuck, this movie it plays mind games on you like nothing else, because you're like, oh shit, we've seen the villain very early in the piece. That's interesting. Yeah. That's different. But then they layer on doubt, like this layer after layer of doubt, until we're in the exact same headspace as our protagonist, not knowing where the fuck we should be going, not knowing what to do or who to trust. And that for me is when, like, looking at his shack with all the sort of demonic sort of shit and the satanic sort of stuff, that was awful, because I'm like, oh shit, he's the bad guy. But then once you weren't sure if he was the bad guy or not, it somehow felt worse, because then you didn't know which way to look.
It's the photographs.
Yeah.
And you see the photographs. That's the...
Yeah.
Then you're locked in, and I just hated it. And can I just make one comment too? The bit where the dog breaks free and all we've seen from our bumbling cop so far is that he's a bit of a bumbling idiot.
Right.
And the dog got in there and attacked him, and he starts screaming, and then they pull away to this like wide shot and you just hear him keep screaming. I actually thought the movie had like pulled the rug out on me and he was dead.
Oh.
Because I couldn't imagine that he could defeat that dog in a fight.
He had such low confidence in him because he was a big old coward. Yeah.
Yep.
Dogs are hard, man. You got he just got Dark Souls, you know, and got taken by surprise.
No, I think that the other creepy thing is they do that little beat where the guy's fallen off the cliff, and he's like, at this point you're like, no, he's evil. And then he's like crying in pain, and you're like, I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Is he bad?
No, I think the devil left him.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got, that he was an ordinary man again at that point when they were chasing him, because he looks genuinely terrified and he's like covering his mouth so they can't hear him. And again, it's not given to us. It's like the ambiguity of this movie is such that it only ever fills you with more dread and confusion. But that was the feeling I had as well, Karns. I'll ask our next question, which is, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I think they did their best at the given information.
Yeah.
I think, you know what, like, I think they acted humanly.
Yes.
Which is even worse, because, like, every one of the things that happened, you're like, I can see how I would do that.
Yep.
The anxiety that you get protecting your family like this, or, you know, being suspicious of this. I understand feeling this doubt because I am feeling it. I don't know what the fuck this movie is going to do. I feel like they are the most sympathetic, empathetic, you know, protagonists that I can imagine.
Yeah, I agree, because it's like everything they're doing is very human. And even like for our protagonist, he literally, like, he does his character arc of that we expect from every movie, that he's a coward to begin with. He's literally running away from every bad thing that comes his way. And then by the end, he's chasing it down with everything he's got because he has to save his daughter. Like, the beauty of that scene where the Japanese man is hiding under the rock and he's like, I have to find him, I have to save my daughter. He just repeats it over and over again, because now fear doesn't matter. He just needs to stop this so his daughter's okay. And he does that. And normally if you do that in a movie, well, you get the win because you've earned it. But in this movie, no. You do not get the win. You get the worst shit happening.
That scene broke my heart when he broke down on the rock and was crying. It fucking killed me. Mm. And I was like, that's when I was like, I really like this movie. It just hit like an emotional beat when I was like, this is what I actually like. This is what I want from a horror film. I don't just want jump scares and bullshit. I want like actual humanity, and this movie locked into it. And yeah, it's like what you said, Damo. I reached a moment where I thought it's all going to work out. They're going to get through it. And then it didn't. It ended bad.
Yeah.
But I still like the movie, which I shouldn't. I don't know why. I think I love it. I think I love this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Con. Yes.
Well, on the if I acted wisely or foolishly, there were two. I read some on some trivia. There was two sort of foreshadowing hints that both he and we could have picked up on. One was that while the woman, the sort of the woman in white, did have some of the possessed people's possessions, she only had stuff from their top half, where the Japanese man only had stuff from their bottom half. And that's because she's sort of serving a higher power. He's obviously serving the very lowest possible power. So that was one, which was interesting. And the second one, which was that at one point we see that the shaman wears the same diaper as the Japanese man, which I think is just great. They were meant to pick up that the baddies are in cahoots because they wear the same diaper.
Oh my God, they're both diaped up.
How did we not see it?
They're on the same message boards. Oh my God.
Fully diaped.
Oh my God, they're Abdil. I can't believe it. That's so good for representation. This is a Korean movie and an Abdil movie.
Look, here's the thing though. I just don't know what else that he could have done. I mean, okay, the obvious thing is that he believes the woman when she's like, you have to wait. But I don't know if I would have believed her. Like, for me, watching that scene, there is not enough evidence for me to not do what he did.
You know that watching the movie, you're like, whichever choice this guy makes is going to be wrong.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Like, yes. There's just that inescapable feeling of he's fucking this up somehow.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. But then you see that the hair clip on the ground and you're like, oh no, fuck, he's making the right choice.
Yep.
Do we think that when they first went to the Japanese guy's place and saw the photos, why didn't they just arrest him?
They weren't supposed to be there, I think, is the idea.
Weren't there photos there of someone who had already died?
But didn't they then return to check them out and they were gone?
Yep.
Yeah, they came back, I think, the next day or whatever, and he'd burned them. But, like, isn't that enough on the spot just to be like, why have you got a wall full of photos of dead bodies? You're coming with us.
Yeah. But
just seemed odd. Not that that probably would have helped anyway.
No.
Because you can't kill him,
so
whatever.
I think the logic they use there is literally the priest at some point is like, we can't be here. So I guess it's one of those things where if you arrested, like, there are already cops who suck at their jobs. If they brought back this guy and he was like, they didn't have the warrant for my house, blah, blah, blah. Then it's, you know, I guess is the logical leap. But yeah, going back and then him being like, yeah, burnt them all.
But the feeling that I got from there also is that you don't want to be around this thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like what we just found out is this is a dark magical force. Yeah. And that coming to this thing even 2-on-1 is like you are asking to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And, like, it's so powerful because that scene, I'm pretty sure, finishes with him finding his daughter's shoe in the house. And so he just needs to get to his daughter. Nothing else is happening in his head at that point because it is such a malevolent force. Even though the Japanese man is standing right there, he needs to make sure she's all right. Also, on the daughter, holy crap, her performance was...
insane!
Holy incredible. Shit! Holy crap! Oh, my God. Shit, there is one scene early on, like what you were saying before, Tom Walker, how we love these characters from the start because we see the goofy, bumbling thing. There's also a beautiful scene with father and daughter where they're just having a lovely ice cream. She catches him having sex with his wife and she's like, oh, I won't tell. And it's just this very sweet moment between the two of them. And you're like, what a sweet little girl. She is beautiful. She is lovely. And then she is not beautiful and lovely. She is convulsing in far too realistic fashion. I thought she was possessed.
It's fucked.
Yeah, you love all the characters in the movie. You really do. They're charming. Yeah. They're funny. They're nice. And, you know, it hurts to see them steadily eaten up with dread and, like, just harm.
Even, like, the very first scene, he's going to investigate a murder and his wife and mother-in-law are like, nah, I have something to eat first. And then we see him eating at the table.
Yes, such a great cut.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
This one hurts the most, I think, out of the nearly... We've probably nearly watched 50 horror movies now.
Yeah.
This one hurts probably more than any we've watched, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because you want him to win. And again, they make the right call. They go to the shaman. Mm. They just go to the wrong dude.
Yeah.
They just pick the wrong dude. Like, he goes to the... they think they've won. There's that beautiful scene where he comes back to the hospital after thinking he's killed the demon.
Yeah,
and he's like, you're okay. And she's like, yes. And she's crying. And it's like, that's so... so lovely, and then it's like,
and you feel happy,
matter.
Tom, and then you see that there's like 45 minutes left.
Yes.
Fuck.
All right, well then, how would the four of us do in this situation?
So badly.
Horribly.
We're dead.
I wouldn't even get around to calling the shaman.
All right, well, let's set the scene. I think the four of us can be cops together in this village.
I'm immediately killed by my own service weapon. I don't even get past the first clean of that thing without blowing my fucking brains out onto the Korean wall.
The demon doesn't actually have anything to do with our lives. We just all die because we're bad at being cops.
Yeah, we're playing a game of catch the gun and we're just throwing the pistols back and forth.
We fall down the cliff, but rather than funny Benny Hill music, we just all break our necks.
Correct. Yeah. I leave the car in reverse as I get out to, like, check something in the wheel. It just crushes my skull. It just rolls back.
Yeah, you have that scene where they're like, oh, eat something before you go. I cut back. I've just got a chopstick jammed, like, sideways through my throat.
Can I just say, I love that he gets called that there's been, a murder or whatever, a violent crime, and he just sits down to eat first before he goes to work.
He's got to have his sustenance, you know?
Priorities.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay, let's go forward a bit further in the movie. Let's say we don't die from our own incompetence and we end up facing the devil. Tom Walker, as our special guest, would you like to be the one that enters the cave?
I'd love to get in there. Thank you so much.
Cool.
I immediately slip on a wet rock. Slam my head into the crowd. No, but like, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could. I hope you said whatever you wanted to my soul, because it's not coming back from that cave.
No.
No.
I feel like this is when we did same thing when we did Sinister. I think once you're in, you actually can't get out.
Yeah.
Like by the time we're in it, I don't know if I'd be able to make the right choice. Tom's dying in that cave. That's
I'm done.
You actually went there expressly to die.
Right. The devil will go to take your photo, but you're already dead. It's too
I'm long. Already taking a selfie of myself, just being like, yeah, man, I get it. I fucked up. I take a single step in there. I see that there's like a mist gate blocking me from going back out. I'm like, ah, oh, no.
You've already printed out headshots to give him. You're like, here we go. Job done.
Yeah. Kill Don't me. Worry about it, man. I can sign those if you want. Going into the cave is never the right option.
Yeah.
Thank
descent,
you.
The wailing.
Oh,
the
yes.
Descent to all of these.
Yeah.
The cave, nothing good happens in a cave.
Yeah, spelunking, terrible idea, always.
So bad.
Yeah, boys, we can't do it because we watched The Descent and we said we're never going in a cave.
This is true.
True.
I guess that's why Tom Walker had to do it.
Yeah. I think we're fucked, though. Like, I think you could, like, I don't think we have the wherewithal to beat the devil.
No, don't be so hard on yourself. Oh, Tom's got imposter syndrome. No.
I'm not a real exorcist. No, I just feel like a fraud.
No.
I'm just making up these tongues that I speak
in. You could beat the devil. The being of ultimate knowledge and evil. You could absolutely go toe-to-toe. Toe-to-hoof. Sorry.
Is this the devil giving me a pep talk because I turn up and I'm like, I can't beat you?
Yeah, this
like,
isn't
oh,
any
come
fun.
On, give it a go. Come on.
Yeah, that's no fun when you don't fight back.
Is the key to this picking a better exorcist? Do we have exorcist auditions?
I mean, it's trusting the girl, ultimately, isn't it? Like, she is fighting to beat the devil and seems to have the capacity to do so.
I wouldn't trust her because she threw rocks at me.
I mean, yeah, she throws rocks. Why is she throwing rocks at us?
Just be real. Just come up and say exactly what's happening. Don't be cryptic with your rocks.
Right.
What if I got hit in the head?
Yeah, she's creepy. She's kooky. I would probably also commit the fault of trusting the guy I booked from like a phone book.
The professional guy who shows up.
100%. Yeah.
Rather than the girl crawling on the ground throwing rocks.
That exorcism feels legit as fuck.
Oh, it's convincing.
Right?
Well, it is. I think it is. It's just he's doing it for the wrong side.
Yeah.
The other thing too is that like, so here's the thing I will say about her. Too. It's her fault, right? So we have that shot at the end of the leaves above the house like rotting away, and you see in all of the other murder sites there's been those leaves that have rotted away. So she's tried multiple times to save people and she's failed every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe she sucks at her job. I'm just saying. Like, if she's too cryptic, she should just be like, hey, Japanese guy's bad.
Yeah.
He's working with this shaman. Don't hire that shaman. Because to convince people the Japanese man is bad is a very easy... Everyone gets on board with that very quickly.
Yeah.
All you need to do is just be like, also, the guy with the ponytail who wears the same diaper, wonder why they're wearing the same diaper.
If she was mute, you'd understand.
Right.
But she's got a voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
just be real. Just tell people what's going on. You're right. It is her fault. The whole movie's her fault.
Yeah. I do agree, though. I think this is finishing with the four of us well and truly dead.
Oh, yeah.
The devil's going to win the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. And that's all the Scary Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've also been Tom.
And if you Scary listeners have any comments about this episode or like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys, or you can find us on Twitter at @scaredboys, or individually, I'm at @middaypajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
My handles are Tom Walker is good on everything.
Now, Tom, I also did want to ask you, you've got a truck simulator season 2 special coming soon.
Well, yeah, special is maybe overselling it, but yeah, I've switched... I stream on Twitch as Tom Walker is good, and I've switched from American Truck Simulator to Euro Truck Simulator 2, and I'm kind of treating it as a reset for the stream. I've gotten rid of all the kind of weird sounds that people could play. I've made it just a fresh break for the stream.
Yeah.
And in the glorious single country of Europe. I'm currently in
My favorite country.
One of the northern states. I believe it's called Finland. So we started off in Helsinki, and we're just kind of branching off. It hit Estonia and Sweden and Russia. I'm kind of making it a whole thing where you watch this guy try and grow a business as people... Oh, yeah, also people can, for Twitch bits, yank the wheel left or right, causing a truly horrific crash. Because I've installed a realistic physics mod, and it is... The number of times it has tipped already is truly awful.
Oh, that's no good.
This is what physics was made for.
Yeah, this is what they thought when the apple hit the head. They were like, in a few years, a comedian will make his living. Driving temptingly across a bridge
in a simulated truck.
Can you pick up hitchhikers in this truck?
No. So it's very much a simulator of the trucks rather than the truck driver themselves. So
No
extracurricular activities, rest stops, no enhancements or stimulants, just good, honest trucking. But there is, I found out, if you try and go to Turkey, I think there's one border crossing in the game that takes 10 real-life minutes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
they have to check your papers, and you have to just sit there and be like...
That is...
If you crash through the border, are there cops? Do you get arrested?
You can't crash through the border.
Oh, my God.
They assume a level of following the rules that is like, no, these do not break under right. pressure. You have to wait your turn like everyone else.
Fuck.
It's such a fucking game.
That's awesome.
Wait, so if you're waiting your turn, what if there's like... Is it possible for you to be like 100 trucks
Absolutely,
back
my friend.
Oh, my God.
And then you get to the front. I had to wait in line on stream. I ended up in the wrong, I ended up in a cars only one. I had to like back up, like fucking swatting 6 cars out of the way with my big tail, which is how I think of the shipping container on the end of the truck. And then just like line up, you know, wait for all the other cars to go through, and then slowly like let them check my papers to move from Finland to Sweden.
Oh,
to wait to get on the ferry to cross the...
Oh my god.
It fucking rules.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I've got it beautiful.
All set up. So like there's people tracking like the money that the company is making. Each delivery is archived in a spreadsheet. It's fucked.
Have you, at this point, have you just considered, shit, maybe I should drive a truck?
I think this has taught me anything, it's that I am not capable of the focus and professionalism and care for human life that defines a truck driver.
Yeah, those real-life physics.
No, yeah. I'm more in the business of colliding into a family sedan and just turning all the occupants into a homogenous paste.
Well, Tom Walker, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm genuinely so happy that you guys... I don't know if liked the movie is great, but I think respected the movie and were changed by it, because it's so good.
Yeah, it really, really is. Well, thanks for coming on, and stay scared, everyone.
Cards on the table. I think it fucking rips.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.